Cool Parts presents Preps Rewind on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Daniel Allaman.
Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome to Preps Rewind right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK, coming to you live from the Elo Fiber Studios. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Allaman. I want to welcome you to text me on Preps, the Preps text line at 888-530-0043. I would love to hear from you. We have a great show for you today. In our first segment, we will talk some Preps baseball and give you some Preps news from around Northern Colorado. And then in our second segment, we're going to have Kevin Johnson, head baseball coach for Severn Silver Knights. And then coming on in our third segment, we're trying to reach Coach Julie Thomas. I know she's coaching today. She's either out at Pomona or she's out at the Valhalla track meet in Valley. So we're trying to get a hold of her. So hopefully we'll get her on in the third segment. Then in our final segment, we have CHASA Commissioner Michael Kruger. Excited to chat with him about the new location for 4A, 5A championship game. He is just knocking it out of the park. I'm so excited to have Michael on. Him and his crew, him and the office, the CHASS office. I'll tell you what, they're doing a stand-up job. I'm so excited to have him on. Let's start with some baseball news. You know, the best baseball in the state currently resides right here in Northern Colorado. For proof, just look at the polls. In CHASS's most recent high school baseball rankings, a Northern Colorado team owns the top spot in each of the three highest classifications. Rocky Mountain is a top 5A, Windsor is number one in the 4A, and two-time defending state champion Eaton is 3A's top-ranked squad. The Coloradoan put a solid piece together about all three of them and Northern Colorado teams, and I want to go over them right now in man, I'll tell you what, these guys are knocking it out of the park. Let's start with Rocky Mountain. Their record's 9-0, 3-0 in the league. One of the two remaining 5A unbeaten teams. The story. So far, the Lobos look the part of those vintage Rocky squads that won six state titles from 2007 to 2017. They can do it all this season, batting 366 as a team with 8.2 runs per game while tossing four shutouts from the mound. They have ranked wins against number 6 Mountain Vista, number 9 Legacy, number 11 Douglas County. Their top performance are Clayton Allerid. He's batting 381, four home runs, 11 runs batted in. And then Nate Ellison, he's batting average is 519, one home run, two triples, 11 runs batted in. Christian Wood, 517. I mean, these guys are just killing it. Phoenix West, 429. Brady Hall, 375 batting average, two home runs, five doubles, six RBIs, 15 and a third innings pitched, 15 strikeouts, a 1.83 ERA. Man, you talk about Brady Hall. He is on fire on that mound. Ross Frank, 21 and two-thirds innings pitched, 29 Ks, and 1.29 ERA. That's amazing. Last time out, they had a 10-0 run, home win against Monarch. On deck, Fairview. They played Fairview on Thursday. I am going to update you on some scores here pretty soon. And then Saturday, today, they play Heritage. And then they're at Loveland on Tuesday. And then Poudre, April 20th. And then let's go to Windsor. Head coach Brad Deal's Windsor program has become one of the most consistent in Colorado. This year's team has a chance to be their best yet with an explosive offense that can ignite any time from the bats to the base pass. The Windsors have already tallied double-digit runs in 8 games, and 5 players have at least 12 ribbies. Wow. Team offensive stats are at 417 batting average, 530 on-base percentage, 38 extra base hits, and 9 home runs. Their top performance are Tyson Shade. He's batting averages 541, 6 doubles, 17 RBIs, 10 stolen bases. Ethan Fillinger, he's 395. That's still good. Anything over 300 in that batting average is really good. 3 home runs, 8 doubles, 17 RBIs, 7 stolen bases. He's pitched 10 and a two-third inning, 17 Ks, and his ERA is 131. Chase Thomas, batting average 447, another standout athlete. Rylan Renton, 367 batting average. Easton Hubbard, 333 batting average. Like, these guys are on fire. Dylan Friera, 24 and two-thirds innings pitched, 33 Ks, 1.114 ERA. What? Awesome. And he's batting 385. Like I said, anything over 300 is good. One home run, seven ribbies. Last time out, they had a 13-7 loss to Silver Creek on Monday. On deck, they play Meade today. And then they play Meade again on Monday. And then Centaurus April 22nd and Centaurus again April 24th. Let's come up to Eaton. Record 10-0, 2-0 in the league. The story, Eaton is back at it again. The Reds have won six state titles since 2008 and went back-to-back in 2001. 2002, they simply reloaded from within this season with four NCAA Division I commits headlined by a reigning 3A player of the year, Walker Martin, at shortstop. I'm hoping next week we get Walker on. I did talk to him this week, and hopefully he's not too busy. I know he's crazy busy right now, so I'm hoping he can spend a little time with us next week. So far, Eaton has mauled opposing teams, winning just once by fewer than 10 runs, Micah, and putting up 13 runs per game. The tradition continues. Eaton already has Colorado's record 13 state baseball championships, and Coach Hernandez has them on fire right now. Their top performers are Walker Martin, 7.04 batting average, 7 home runs, 29 RBIs, 6 stolen bases. Tate Smith right behind him, 600 batting average, 9 ribbies, 9 innings pitched, 21 Ks. He's got a .78 ERA. Pretty amazing. You can see why these guys are going D1. Mitch Haythorne, another D1 athlete. 5.19 batting average, 1 home run, 12 ribbies, 14 innings pitched, 36 Ks, a .50 ERA. And here's a young cat. I love this guy, Gunnar Duncan. His batting average is .457. 1 home run, 15 ribbies, 4 stolen bases. And then Ryder True. When Ryder True's going to, his bats are going to start getting hot. When they get hot, this batting average is going to fly. He's right now at over 300. 1 home run, 2 triples, 13 ribbies, 3 stolen bases. Ryder, keep working, bud. Garrett Gunnison, another top performer, .464 batting average, 1 home run, 4 doubles, 9 ribbies, 13 innings pitched, 24 Ks, and he's a .10 ERA. Last time out, they had a 13-3 road win at number 2 University. On deck, they played Highland. They won again. They beat Highland on Wednesday, and then they play Sterling today. They're at Resurrection Christian on Tuesday, versus University April 21st, and then Liberty Commons to end out April. So some preps news today. Jeff Fulton out as Fossil Ridge football coach after 4 seasons. After 4 seasons, Jeff Fulton is out as the Fossil Ridge High School football coach. School officials confirmed this week Fossil Ridge Athletic Director Dave Walk, I hope I said his name right, cited a desire for a football coach that is within the building, meaning one who also works as a teacher for the school. Fulton has not taught at Fossil Ridge during his coaching tenure, but teaches at Northridge High School. We believe that having a coach who also works at the school best serves our students, football players, and football team, Walk told the Coloradan. We wish Jeff the best moving forward, and I thank him for all he did for the program. The Sabercats are fresh off the best season to date, going 9-3 with the program's first ever Class 5A playoff win before falling to number 7 Regis Jesuit in the second round. Walk said the search for the new coach is already underway. A job posting for the position is up at Poudre School District website, Broomfield. And then also, Broomfield High School coach resigns after the district investigates Blair Hubbard was on paid leave from Boulder Valley School District and submitted his resignation on Monday. There was a police investigation, but did not file criminal charges. Broomfield High School head coach resigned after a district investigation into allegations of inappropriate behavior involving several Broomfield High School students. A letter from the school's principal and athletic director sent to the families on Monday says Blair Hubbard will not return to his coaching and teaching positions at Broomfield High School. The letter says that a complete and adequate investigation was completed on Thursday. The district said their investigation into the allegations included 53 witnesses. We shared the report with the employee last week and accepted the employee's resignation today, said a district spokesman. The employee has a full investigation investigation, but BVSD does not believe it is public record that BVSD can share. No other details about specific nature about the allegations were released. The Broomfield Police also conducted an investigation into Hubbard. In a statement, the district said that the detectives conducted a thorough investigation and found Hubbard not to engage in any criminal behavior. No charges are filed and case has been closed. Hubbard has been on leave since December 15th. According to the district spokesman, he has worked for the district for over 6 years. Broomfield High School's football team has won the Class 4A state championship this past year. If you want more information about this story, check out 9news.com. Also, a little closer to home, Highland High School did not renew the contract of their head football coach, Zach Sandstrom. I invited both Coach Sandstrom and Highland's AD on to talk about that. We haven't found the right time yet, so I'm hoping they can come on. I'd like to get the whole story as to what happened. I have a ton of respect for Coach Sandstrom. I wish him the best of luck. I think any team would be lucky to have him. He is a defensive-minded coach. He's very young, very knowledgeable about the game. Coach, I got your back, and I know you'll land on your feet. As we reported last week, Colorado High School Activities Association announced that the Class 4A and 5A football state championship games will be played on Colorado University's campus in Fort Collins. For the next five seasons, Colorado High School football championship games are reportedly coming to Canvas Stadium. Class 3A, and I'm assuming 2A and 1A, will continue to play its championship games in Thunder Bowl in Pueblo through 2023. After that 2023 season, Canvas Stadium could be the site for all championship games in the future as well. To me, that's a very smart move. Thumbs up to Chas on that one. We're going to talk to Mike Kruger later on in the show about that. Don't forget to text me, folks. Text me on the Preps text line at 888-530-0043. Don't forget to go anywhere, if I can talk here, Mike. It's early in the morning. When we come back, we're going to be joined by KJ, Kevin Johnson, head baseball coach for the Severance Silver Knights. I'm Coach Daniel Allman, and this is Preps Rewind, live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. To Preps Rewind, brought to you by Gould Parts, located in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't forget to text me on the Preps text line at 888-530-0043. Thank you for joining us today. Joining us on the Gould Parts prep line is Kevin Johnson, head baseball coach for the Severance Silver Knights. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Absolutely.
Did you guys play last night or you did not play last night?
We didn't play. We were supposed to play at Niwot last night, but a little snow and a little rain.
Yeah, it was a little crazy weather, spring weather in Colorado.
Yep.
Okay, so right now you're currently in second place in 4A, Longs Peak baseball standing with an overall record of 7-3 and 4-1 in league play. I would say that's a pretty good start for your season, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you see, how's it working with Nolan Hertzke?
Nolan's a great kid to have on our team. You know, a kid that's been in our program since the program started. He's a leader for us, both offensively and pitching and defensively. So he's a huge asset for us.
I mean, he's played in 10 games this year, averaging .500. His batting average is .500. His .548 on base percentage, 18 hits, 16 runs, and 9 ribbies. I mean, he's on fire right now.
Yeah, he's a tough out. He's always a very tough out. He's a kid that even if you get two strikes on him, he's always got a very good two-strike approach, and he's going to put the ball in play. And with his size and strength, he's going to put it in play with some velocity.
He's a big kid, too. How big is he? He's, what, 6'3"?
Yeah, I would say he's 6'3", probably 210, 215.
Oh, they have him at 6'4", Coach. He's 6'4", man. I'm going to give it to him because he earns it, man. He plays all of 6'4", and then some.
Yes, he does.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
What about Mason Bright?
Yeah, Mason's done a great job on the mound and offensively, but he's a kid. You know, when we get a local kid, it's great to have a local kid that's going to sign at CS or UNC and play there next year.
Perfect.
He's a huge one to have on the mound. You know, you're going to get strikes. His I forget exactly what his strikeout to walk ratio is, but it's very good.
He's got four wins. The ERA sitting at 2.69 right now. So he's just picking up steam right now, and that's the way you want to be when you're going. I mean, you're going into league play, and so that's really important. If things play out for you, I can see your team going far in the tournament later this spring. Talk to me about freshman. I want to talk to you. Talk to me about freshman Braden Kirksey.
Little BK?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, little BK is awesome. I have the picture of him and our 6'7" Ty Adam together is priceless. We call it our Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve picture.
That's great. I mean, it's awesome to see. It's fun to watch a young player come up and contribute. That's what I mean. He's played in four games for you.
Yeah, he's come up and he does a great job running the bases, and he's just, I call him our little bulldog.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. You need one. You need one of those right there. And like I said, it's really fun to watch them young players come in and contribute. I think it lifts everybody's spirits as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
How is senior Austin Newley doing?
Austin's doing a great job on the mound. He's, you know, between Nolan and Mason as our starters that have done a great job, and then having Austin as our number three or our middle reliever guy is huge. He's a good throws a good fastball and then has a great slider that gives people troubles.
I mean, I'm looking at your record right now, and I'm looking at your schedule, and I can kind of, I mean, I see you, like I said, see you going far. You're pretty senior heavy this season. Would you say, and I don't want to put this on you or anything, but could you say that this year could be the year that you make some noise in this league?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always have those expectations, but you know, baseball's a strange sport. I always say, you know, football, you can out-athlete people every day on any given day. But baseball, you can get beat by one pitcher, one player that gets hot. So we have those expectations, and we just kind of take it one game at a time and make good things happen.
And I think you have the roster to do that, and that's what I'm talking about. You have that roster right now that could possibly be the year to really go far in the tournament and really make some noise, and I'm excited to watch you. Who's that one player on your team that's the leader of men?
That's Nolan. Nolan's been around, and Nolan, you know, he played football, he played basketball when he was younger. He's kind of our go-to. Sometimes I call him Coach Hertzke, because when I need a a pep talk, I give him to Nolan and let him do his thing.
You know, when you say that, and then that just makes me know that you're doing the right thing. You're coaching for the right purpose, right? Not just for the title, but for the purpose.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, as much as we all want to win, it's all about these kids. And you know, you look at we've got eight seniors, and seven out of the eight of them are signed currently to go play college athletics and move on in life and keep living the dream.
And that's what you want. That's what you want to see them go. You say, are you making up that NIWAC game?
Yes, it'll be Monday.
It'll be Monday. And then also, you're going to go back-to-back. Monday, you got NIWAC, and then you'll back-to-back. Tuesday, you'll go. Are you away? Yeah, you're away to Fort Morgan, and then you're home to Fort Morgan on Thursday.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be a big week, as they all are anymore.
Right. No kidding. And now, how do you get your team ready for those back-to-backs like that? Do you like them?
In some ways, yes, because especially if you're playing well and hitting well, sometimes it's nice to just keep rolling.
Right.
And, you know, you just let them do their thing and get in and take some BP ahead of time and refresh and
let's go.
Fix anything that we need to and keep getting after it.
That's what I love about baseball and basketball, because it's like that. You got one day of practice and then you play, and then, you know, you got one game and then you play a game the next day. And so you're just rolling, and I love that. As you get into league play right now, Coach, what's your message to your team?
Our biggest message is just take one game at a time, because you can look down the road and sometimes you lose focus on taking care of business in the game you got ahead of you. So we're just taking care of one game at a time. And with weather, you never know what happens. So you just take care of the one you've got and let Mother Nature take care of when you play the next game.
Darn Mother Nature in Colorado.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, she runs the show.
Exactly, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Coach, you definitely have the roster to make some noise. Coach, thank you for coming on this morning. I wish you the best of luck the remainder of the season. Stay healthy, Coach.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Have a great weekend, man. Thanks to Gould Parts, our great sponsor, 970-454-3355. Any parts you need, Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado will find it. Gould Parts is a quality source for all NAPA parts. Anything you need is just one phone number away, 970-454-3355. Write it down and stick it on the fridge. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Don't touch that dial. Up next is Julie Thomas, head track and field coach for the Platte Valley Broncos. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Alamon, and you are listening to Preps Rewind, sponsored by Gould Parts, live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Preps Rewind. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Alamon. He is DJ Micah Kilpatrick, spinning the ones and twos. We are coming to you live from the Yellow Fiber Studios right here in beautiful Greeley, Colorado. You know, Gould Parts is one of our great sponsors, 970-454-3355. Any parts you need, Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado will find it. Gould Parts is a quality source for all NAPA parts. Anything you need is just one number away, 454-3355. Gould Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Joining us on the Gould Parts hotline is Julie Thomas, head track and field coach for Platte Valley. Coach, how are you doing?
I am wonderful today. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you for joining me this morning. Are you guys competing in Pomona or the Valhalla Viking Invite?
We are actually at both today. I am down at Pomona this morning. We had Josh Eagleton race in the finals of the 110 hurdles. He finished in sixth place.
Nice.
In a time of 16:06. Yep. And currently, Yessi Valdez is getting ready to throw discus in her fourth flight.
Perfect.
So and everyone else is at Valhalla today.
Valhalla. Well, we were going to do the same thing. We were going to split the teams. Some of us were going to go to Valhalla and some of us to Jeffco. And we just didn't get enough individuals to compete for the Valhalla. So we just decided to go to Jeffco. But I know they're out there competing. How's the team doing at the Pomona invite?
We're doing pretty well. Yesterday in the winter weather, rain conditions that we had, Yessi Valdez actually finished first place in shot put. She threw 32.10.5, which was about 2 feet under her personal best this season, but it was a very good throw under the conditions, and they ended up not running finals, so she was first place.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it looks like Kyle Roth seems to be lighting up the sprints. I believe his best time in the hundreds was 12:03. I see he also runs the 200, which is pretty quick as well. And then Max Zink is having a really good season as well.
Yes, they both are. They actually are leading our boys sprint crew this season. They are also on our 4x2, 4x1, and then Max is on our 4x4, and those relays are running pretty well for us right now. They're just on the outside of state qualifying right now.
I was just going to say your relay teams are pretty amazing, and I'm recognizing some of these names as well, like Max. They're running the 100, 200. That's a strong team. So you're looking pretty good. You know who impresses me is Daniel Gomez Gutierrez. Is he still running the 3200?
He is. He has not raced it the last 2 weeks because of where it's fallen in the meet against the 4x8.
Right.
But he will run it today at Valhalla.
Yes.
So it will be good to see him. He's a young freshman and looks like a strong teacher for us in the 32.
Man, I tell you what, I don't know how they do it. He's running a 13:01.73 in that 3200. I don't know how they do it.
He's a wrestler and loves to run, and so this is his time to continue to stay in shape and get ready for wrestling season.
Did I hear you right? He's a wrestler.
He is.
Love that. Love when they come out and play other sports. That's awesome. And then Wyatt Bagley running the 400, 800, and 1600 as well. He's pretty impressive.
Yes. Wyatt did a great job in the 16 and the 32 last year for us, and so he's dropping down and running a little bit more of the speed events, and he's a part of that 4x8 and 4x4 that was trying to move up and get qualified as well.
And are you said you're at Valhalla right now?
I am not. I'm at Pomona with Yessi.
Okay, perfect.
But everyone else is at Valhalla.
At Valhalla, okay. Let's talk about some throwing, some throwers, because I know that's where that's your department right there. Doug Naley seems to have found his groove, man. He's pretty consistent around 100 foot.
He is. He is hoping to get into that 110, keep moving up a little bit. I know on the boys' throw side, it usually takes about 130 feet to get into state, but Doug is getting more consistent, and he's been the leader for my boys throwing through this year.
Man, that's awesome. How about some of your other throwers there? How about the Lady Broncos?
Right now, Yesenia Valdez is number one in shot put and discus in 3A.
She's throwing so well.
She is throwing very well. Mm-hmm. She is who actually won shot put down here at Pomona yesterday, and where she seeded third going into discus this morning. So she's looking to have another big day down here.
That's awesome.
And then Nevaeh Garcia is also ranked in the top 10 in girls discus in 3A right now, and she's sitting at 100 feet so far this year. She's a returning state qualifier for us in the discus as well.
Perfect, perfect. Who's your team captain, Coach?
We actually don't have team captains.
Okay.
But our leaders right now for the throws are Jesse and Doug, and then on the track we have Kyle Roth, and then Tanner Reinert, who is a returning distance runner, who is a state qualifier for us last two seasons in cross country,
right,
is also one of our big leaders on the track.
Do you just have, I mean, they're all kind of leaders in their own right. You don't just have that one clear vocal leader.
Nope. We have a great crew of athletes. We've got some new athletes out. We also have Andy Schiffler, who was the 3A girls basketball player of the year, that's out for track for the first time in high school.
She's currently ranked
seventh in high jump. She's jumped 4.11 this year.
Perfect.
So we're excited to have her out as well.
Perfect. So you got a lot of leaders there. What's your message to your team when they get nervous? When they step in that circle and they're ready to throw, what's your message to them?
That we put the work in practice, and the throws and the jumps and all of the attempts they get are the fun part of track and field, getting in there, getting to compete, and taking a deep breath and enjoying the moment.
Perfect. What's your expectation for your team right now, Coach?
I think we just need to keep improving and see what we can get qualified to state. We have a lot of young and inexperienced athletes, but we do have some leaders that are here helping them grow, and it will be fun to see what they do the rest of the season.
And I got to say this, Coach Thomas. I have to say this. I absolutely love your attitude and the way you interact with your athletes. I saw you on at the JV meet. You were there, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
At Central. Well, it was D6 Stadium, yeah. But Central, yeah. I absolutely love your interaction. They respond well to you. I know that you're in this for the right reasons, and that's the athletes. I love seeing that because there are a lot of coaches that only coach for the title and not for the purpose, and that, my friend, is not you. So I really have to say that you just love your interaction with your athletes.
Well, thank you very much.
I think that's where you talk about your leadership. You know, you just have one captain. You have a bunch of leaders, but they learn the leadership from a good coach like you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, man. I can't wait to see. I want to see how you guys do in both meets, and then I'm sure we'll run into each other at state. But we'll talk before that. I want to get you back on because I know we concentrate a lot on basketball and baseball and football, but I really want to push track because I mean you guys and what you do out there and the athletes and how hard they work. I want to recognize them as well.
Well, thank you very much. They appreciate it. It's nice to see track getting its moment in the limelight.
Heck yeah, man. We'll keep doing it. As long as I'm doing this, track is going to be there.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Coach. Hey, keep fighting that good fight. I pray continued success. And I thank you for being my guest on the new Preps Rewind. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye. Good luck. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with CHASA Commissioner Michael Kruger. I'm Coach Daniel Allman, and this is Preps Rewind live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to Preps Rewind. I'm your host, Coach Daniel Allman. He is Micah Kilpatrick, the Oz behind the curtain. A huge shout out and thank you to our great sponsor, Gould Parts, 970-454-3351. Gould Parts is a quality source for all Napa parts, anything you need, just one phone call away, 970-454-3355. Gold Parts in beautiful Eaton, Colorado. Joining us on the Gold Parts Hotline is CHASA Commissioner Michael Krueger. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Coach, good morning. Thanks for having me on your show, and thanks for everything you do to promote prep sports.
Yeah, I love it, buddy. I love it. Thank you for coming on, man. I really appreciate. You know, we are so fortunate that you live up here in the north.
Well, I sure enjoy it, too. I have to tell you, I never mind driving home north and getting up here in the Windsor Severance area, and it's beautiful. I'm looking out over beautiful farmland this morning, so I agree with you.
Amen to that. Amen. I just got to ask you this. How many miles do you put on that vehicle a day?
Oh, man.
Oh, let's say a week. Give me a week, just average.
Well, I can tell you this. I got the car in June, and it's leased, and it had a 15,000-mile, you know, you get 15,000 miles a year. I think I just passed 32,000 miles, and I'm only in April. So there's a little windshield time, that's for sure.
Well, and the only reason why I asked that is you guys do such a great job reaching out to all the schools.
Well, yeah, that's part of our mission, you know, and I think one of the things when I came in was a very strong strategic priority for me was to make sure we understood the difference between communication and connection. And, you know, that's a really important piece. Simply because we obviously they're married together, communication mm-hmm. and connection. But at the CHASA office, we don't want to just be a warehouse of communicating information out. We need to understand what's happening in the state and understand the diversity and understand what's happening in the trenches all around. We got to get out there. We got to meet with schools. We got to be at events. We got to talk to principals and superintendents. And we've made a real concerted effort to do that. And one of our core values is service. And we like to think of our office as very servant leadership oriented. And with that being said, it's important to us to get out and about and make sure that we're talking and touching base and connecting with our communities around the state.
I think that's awesome. You guys, do you work with or study what other surrounding states do?
That's a really great question. I appreciate you asking that. Yes, we have a really great network of, in fact, all 50 states that members that belong to the National Federation of High Schools. We meet regularly, whether it's virtually or whether it's in person. I'll be in Indianapolis next week to meet with leaders from around the 50 states and to have our annual legal meetings, which is always a pleasure, but it's always fun. But it's always good to connect, and I'll be completely honest with you. We're always learning something from what other people are doing, and the irony, it's not hard to stretch to understand that we all share a lot of common issues and challenges. So to know what other states are doing relative to many of these things, and we get called quite often. Colorado's very much a standard bearer in a lot of areas, and we get calls from states, and we call states and develop some really close partnerships and collaborations with other states to help us as we navigate the challenges that face us as a high school activities association.
And I have to say, I'm just going to say, Mr. Commish, you guys are knocking it out of the park, man. I'm telling you. I don't think I've ever seen CHASA. And I mean no disrespect by this when I say this, but you and your crew are so involved with relationship building and making your presence known. I don't think I've ever seen CHASA as involved as much as I have now, which I absolutely love, because you're getting down to the core of it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that is a huge compliment. And I don't know if you could give our staff a bigger one. That means a ton to us, and especially coming from someone who's doing the job every day on the field, blowing the whistle. You know, you're coaching kids all the time throughout the day, throughout the year, especially, I know in the fall. And, to hear you say that, though, that's really important to us. And like I mentioned earlier, we want to get out and connect. And we really do commit ourselves to servant leadership. And to be servant leaders, you have to be out there, developing those relationships. At the end of the day, it is about the people that we serve. And that includes the parents and the student athletes, especially in our schools and coaches and athletic directors. And we love just being part of the experience and promoting our vision and mission to help you be great and do the best job you can do and that you feel that kind of support. And that's really important to us.
Right. And, I remember, 6-7 years ago, everybody wanting to leave CHASA and it was just a mess. And I don't see that anymore. I see a marriage now and us kind of working together and working with the student athletes and kind of that's the focus. And that's where we all kind of put our focus in is the kids and the athletes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And at the end of the day, that's the thing. We all want the same thing. The what I like to say is, you know, it's the diversity in our state, whether you come from the west, the south, the east, the north, up here, up north, northeast. I was out in Sterling on Tuesday visiting with athletic directors up there, and we've been down over on the western slope earlier
Coach
this
Dick
week,
would say
Monday.
God's country, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, but it's that diversity and what we experience in our different communities that brings strength to our state. At the same time, what we do is bring that diversity together, right, and we unify around the shared vision. What you just said, you know, we want to serve and we want to provide great opportunities for student athletes to participate in athletics and activities and everything that they can, and to be great at it and to provide that opportunity. And so it's that diversity that gives us strength. But at the end of the day, we are all unifying around the same shared vision.
Yep. And I say that and also transparency. You know, you guys are being transparent, and we're seeing that, and we appreciate that, and I know the athletes appreciate that. So it goes. I mean, you guys are doing an amazing job. Let me ask you this, Coach. I say coach because I always, you know, you're a coach.
Yep.
I mean, I'm always going to call. How is Chassa dealing with the official shortage?
Oh man, thanks. Thanks for asking that. Well, it's an ongoing issue, but I think we've attacked it. It was one of the highest priorities. First one, again, like I mentioned, was communication and connection. The second one, when I took over in July, everybody said, man, we got to hit this officials crisis head on. We're moving games. We don't have enough officials to cover the number of games we have in all sports. It's happening in all sports. So we did two things real quick. We addressed the pay issue, and kudos to our schools in the state, approved a new officials pay structure in January. We did a lot of research, a lot of data, and the schools came to the table and said, we know that we need to do this. And that has really resonated in the ranks of the officials.
Perfect.
The second thing we did is we created a new initiative that launched November 1st called You Look Good in Stripes. And we went around the state and met with all officials associations and tried to help remove barriers to cost barriers for anyone that was interested in getting involved in officiating. And so they wouldn't have registration fees, testing fees, background check fees. We even came up with grant funding for uniforms and equipment. And so we were able to do that, and we launched November 1st. Our yearly goal, our annual goal, was to try to sign up 250 new officials. And, Coach, I'm going to be excited to tell you, April 1st, 6 months in, that week we signed up our 872nd new official.
You said your goal was 200 and you signed up 800.
Yeah, 872 was our number as of April 1st. And we're super excited.
In
all sports, all over the state, growth in officials up here in the Northern Associations, out west, down south, it's been great.
Man, that's awesome. That is great news. Okay, coaches, it's our responsibility to have a little respect for these refs, man. They work really hard for us.
So yep.
We can't lose them. We got to respect them. Okay, sometimes I know coaches get out of control and lose their cool, and they may possibly get booted from a game. When they land in your office, what's your message to those coaches?
Man, you're asking some awesome questions. You're asking questions that speak right to my passion area.
Good.
Obviously it's not a comfortable conversation for them, and but it's okay. But the thing, I'll be honest, completely honest with you. What I share, the message I share, is that to get them to understand that they coach to a bigger purpose than what's happening in the moment that official made that call. So in other words, if you as a coach, if you've ever been asked the question, why do you coach? Mm-hmm. What is your purpose for coaching? Why are you out there every day? What do you want to get accomplished? And then what's it like to be coached by you? And how are you going to define success? And when you have those questions in the core of your being and you know why you're out there and your purpose is there, yes, winning is a great goal. We all practice, play, and compete to win the game. We want to win. We want to win state championships. But that is a goal. That is not a purpose.
Right.
And when your purpose is bigger than that goal, you can look at that official's call and go, man, in the moment, that is frustrating, and we've all been there. You know, you've been there as a coach. I've been there as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating, and you're like, doggone it, how could you see that call that way? And, and you're frustrated. In the moment, though, you need to be tied into what your purpose is, and you're a role model, and you're setting a standard for the way your athletes, your parents, your community is going to respect that official. And you have to understand that your responsibility to that purpose is bigger than losing your mind and your emotional control to attack an official over a call that happens in a game.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying that's what we need to do.
Right, and you get caught up in the moment, but you're never going to change that official's mind, so relax.
Right,
and that's
right.
And that's why I think we're in good hands. I think we're in good hands with you, Commissioner, because you have that. You are in it for the right purpose. And that's what I love about it. Not just for the title, but for the purpose. And that's awesome. I know in Eaton, we push athletes to compete in multi-sports. What's your thought on that?
Yeah. Well, again, we could do a whole show on that sometime if you want to. But my background, my last 4 years working for the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee was in athlete development. And so I will tell you, I could speak on this. I actually did. That was my job, was to go around the country and speak about how we develop youth athletes. What do we do? And I can tell you that all you need to do is to look at the data. Athletes develop as holistically, and when we just focus on one sport, we rob the other parts of athleticism,
right?
Because we're just focusing on one. Overuse injuries and burnout are the two highest data points to look at when we talk about why focusing on just a single sport is not a great approach. Secondly, if you go and talk to colleges and you look at the percentages of the athletes that are competing at the collegiate level and then also at the professional level, at high school they were multi-sport athletes. And so data supports it, but just from a professional and experience position, I'm telling you, let your kids experience, from the youngest ages especially, let them experience a multitude of activities that will expand their basic foundational movement skills and will make them better athletes as they continue to grow older. There will be a time when you notice that they're ready to focus on one, but
right,
it is not prior to the late high school years, possibly.
I have middle school students that come up to me, you know, hey, do you play basketball? No, I play softball. I play volleyball only, you know, and why don't do that? It's proven that the multi-sport athletes are less likely to have injuries.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So finish your thought.
No, I was just going to say, I'd love to sit down and just chat on that specific topic, because parents, we play such an important role in this, and coaches encouraging athletes to play multiple sports. It's not benefiting your athlete in the long run. You're not letting them participate for what they can accomplish in eighth grade. Let them enjoy the experience when in seventh grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, whatever it is. Let them experience the joy of playing and falling in love with competing and participating. There will come a time when they reach a certain age when they will be ready to focus on one. Let them experience and grow as an athlete. That's what will help turn them out to reach their full potential.
Amen to that. I just got one quick question. I know 4A and 5A, they're moving their state championship games to Colorado State University's campus in Fort Collins. Are 2A, 3A, 1A, are they going to be moving eventually?
Not at this time.
Okay.
No, we have agreements with CSU down in Pueblo, and we have obviously the agreement with CSU now.
Perfect.
In Fort Collins, and 6-man, 8-man, 2A, 1A will stay in Pueblo for the time being.
Yes, sir. Great work, Mr. Commissioner Michael Kruger.
Thanks,
thank
Coach.
You. Thank you for joining us today, man. I'd love to get
Always,
you back
man.
On, man.
You got it. Anytime, my friend. Thanks for everything you do.
Yes, sir. Keep up the good work.
Right.
Your energy is amazing. Thank you, sir. All right, I want to thank Keith Johnson, head baseball coach for the Severn Silver Knights, Julie Thomas, head track and field coach for Platte Valley Broncos, and the People's Commissioner, Michael Kruger. Thank you all for taking your time out to come on and share your stories and vision with us. I'm Coach Daniel Allman, walking this earth with purpose to influence, period. This is Preps Rewind, live from the Yellow Fiber Studios. We are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.